GAA program with Tom Comack. Brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Station Roundabout, Letterkenny. Gear up for the next big game from the great range of clubwear at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Agus fáil tú go dtí an clár cum an lúc clás géan a seacht in a show with me Tom Comack as always with you on a Wednesday night until 9 o'clock. Tonight's program we hear from Donegal GAA Culture and Chang Officer Fergus McGee. Fergus looks ahead to Sunday's Donegal Scorn and Og finals, which are on in the hour clanning we door. But first we remember the legendary radio Kerry commentator Wishy Fogarty, who was laid to rest in his native Killarney this morning. Wishy, who was obviously a very good friend of ours here on Highland Radio and a regular contributor, sadly passed away in his home in Killarney on Sunday morning after a long battle with illness. We'll be joined shortly by his Radio Kerry broadcaster, commentator, colleague Gary O'Sullivan. But first, we hear a wee clip from Wishy when he joined me after this year's All-Ireland on the GAA programme.
And I said this to you before, Tom. I love watching them playing. I'm a great admirer of Dublin, and I think they're a great value to the association, and they're a credit to the association. At the moment, they're simply, I won't say they're unbeatable, because there's no team unbeatable. But the only way that you can beat them is you'll have to be able to take every chance you get and hope that they'll run into fairly poor day. If you don't take all your chances and against them, and they don't run into poor day, and they get into this rhythm where they can work that machine, that wonderful machine that they can work the ball into the scoring area, you just can't stop them, Tom. I think they're a credit association. I think Stephen Cluxton has changed the face of Gaelic football, Tom. I have never seen any one player change the face of football as much as Cluxton. I mean, he's unbelievable, isn't he? I mean, he's after captain the Dublin out of 4 in a row, and those kick-outs with his left and his right, and he can ping a ball right on top of a man. He's unbelievable. If anything happened to Cluxton, there's no doubt at all about it, it would definitely take Dublin down a notch. And if anything happened, if Gavin gave up the managership, it would take Dublin down a notch. I don't think, Tom, that there's anybody to replace the two of those.
Yeah, certainly Gavin has a, you know, and he's a very quiet, unassuming type of guy, but obviously he's met a stern stuff.
He's a queer hawk, that fella. He knows what he's doing, Tom. He knows his football inside out and upside down. And do you know what he looks like? He looks like a great man manager. He knows how to handle people, and he knows how to lead people, and that stands to him greatly. You'll never see any trouble in the background there. You'll never see any of the subs transom.
What you met of Donegal this year, you would have seen quite a bit of them, because they were in Kerry early in the year, the very first league game.
Yeah, well, I was very impressed by Donegal, Tom. I thought that they played some lovely football and some very strong football, but I didn't think that they had the forwards at the end of the day. You were missing a couple of great forwards at the end of the day, and I didn't think that you had the men that could get the scores to win it. But I thought they played very well now.
Yeah. So, looking forward to next year, Dublin, obviously the team to beat still.
Looking forward to next year, Tommy, and Dublin, the team to beat. There's no doubt at all about that. And when you talk about Dublin, you must remember also they're after winning. It's 5 or 6 national leagues they're after winning. I mean, I don't know how they keep going. To win 5 national leagues and to win 4 All-Irelands and to win 12 or 13 Leinster championships, it's an amazing feat how they keep going, Tom. And if they win next year and make it to 5 in a row, I'd be the first to say that they were the greatest football team I have ever seen.
Gary, thank you for joining us tonight, and I know it's a sad occasion and a sad week, I'm sure, in Kerry at the loss of your great colleague Wishy Fogarty.
Isn't he, Tom? Good to talk to you. A very sad day here in Kerry today. Wishy laid to rest today in Killarney. Huge crowds last night at his removal, and also today at his burial. A man that was a real popular figure, not only in Kerry, Tom, but he was known the length and breadth of Ireland and beyond. You know, all over the world, really, Wishy Fogarty's name was known, or whatever Kerry people gathered, they always spoke of Wishy Fogarty's name. So, very sad times today.
Yeah. What was it about him?
He was so natural, Tom. He was the same guy that would commentate on an All-Ireland final day with me as he would be in the canteen of Radio Kerry having a cup of coffee or having a sandwich. There was no airs and graces about Weeshie. What you saw was what you got. He was a real down-to-earth character. He was a great man at conducting interviews. He was a great man to source an interview. And he had unbelievable power of people. You could not refuse an interview off Weeshie Fogarty, no matter who it was. He had an uncanny ability of just coming around you in a nice way, and you could never say no. Even to be invited onto a Terrace Talk programme on Monday night, all he would say is, you'll take a call, won't you? Yeah. And that's the way. No one could refuse Weeshie.
Yeah.
But he was a very down-to-earth character, and I really was in a privileged position to be working with him for so long.
Yeah, and he was very popular. I was amazed at all the calls and all the sympathies I got up here, because any time, and we took him on fairly often over the last 30 years, he was very, very popular, even with non-sports people and non-GA people.
He was indeed, Tom. I mean, since he died, since the news came to us on the Sunday morning, I mean, I've been inundated with radio stations and with newspapers all over Ireland just getting my view on Weeshie, because he was just a very, very special individual. And, you know, as I said, he was known the length and breadth of Ireland. And the many times that I've experienced being to Croke Park with him, and I've always said this to everybody, coming out of Croke Park, there'd be more supporters waiting to take pictures with Weeshie and to get his autograph than there would be of footballers. And the beauty about it, from what I was concerned, is that nobody knew me, and I just easily went through the crowd into the car, and nobody knew me, but everybody knew Weeshie. And but it would just tell you how much of a popular guy he was a likable and lovable rogue, Tom, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and he led a varied career, a psychiatric nurse by profession, and I suppose that helped as well, because I think one of his great attributes was that I think he loved people, and I think when you love people, you can easily interview them.
Absolutely. He had a great way with people. He was very popular with everyone. And he often taught me in long trips to Donegal and to Derry and up to the north. Off his times working as a psychiatric nurse, he gave 38 years working in St. Finian's in Killarney. And there was many of the story he told me about, you know, certain individuals, which he didn't name, and rightly so, but of people that died on their own, and he was with them on their deathbed. And, you know, there was that kind of a father figure like, you know, feature for Weeshie. He was so easy and easygoing with everybody, and hugely popular man, and as you said, even outside of sport. But he was a encyclopedia of knowledge, Thomas, as sport was concerned. Predominantly, we'd know him as GA, but I can tell you, Weeshie could easily talk rugby and soccer and basketball. He played basketball at a high level in Killarney in his younger days. And of course, then he wore the Kerry jersey at numerous levels.
Yeah, and he won in All-Ireland, and did he win 5 championships? He was a club championships in Kerry with Legion. He was a goalkeeper.
A great goalkeeper, a great Legion man. And he admits this, he probably came around at the wrong time, Tom, because he was the sub goalie on the Kerry team, and the number one goalie was his own friend from his own club, Johnny Cullity.
Yeah.
The two of them came from together in the one time, and Weeshie often spoke to me, and he often asked me a question. He said to me one day, Gary, he says, what is the difference between an official All-Ireland medal and an unofficial medal? And I didn't have a clue what the answer was, and I said, I don't know, Weeshie, what's the answer? Well, he says, I should know, because I have one. I have an unofficial medal, he said, and there is no GA crest in the back of the unofficial medal.
So he was outside the 24, was he?
He was that time. They were only given to X amount that time, and he was just outside. But he was equally proud. I mean, he was Kerry Minor as well, and, you know, then he went to the coaching side of things with his own club, Killarney Legion. He was a very astute man, Tom. There was many a day Weeshie would say to me, however he heard it, because, of course, the gates of Killarney were closed during Eamon Fitzmaurice's reign. I think Weeshie didn't like, to be honest about it. But
something that didn't go down well with him at all, and I know that because he told me about it many's a time.
Yeah, well, he came from the old stock, and he often mentioned 4 or 5 local lads that this was a pilgrimage to them every Tuesday or Thursday evening, that they often went to the Fitzgerald Stadium and just watched training. These are old guys that would have watched it since the 50s and the 60s. And he actually took that hard, and I could see where he was coming from, but he knew as well, putting on his media hat, why Eamon Fitzmaurice had to do it, and he respected that as well. And but even since then, he'd often say, I hear so-and-so's going bad at training, or I hear so-and-so's going well. And I tell you this, Tom, en route to the games, the guy that Weeshie heard was going bad was often substituted or didn't even start the game, and the guy that often Weeshie said was going well ended up with the Man of the Match award. So he always had his finger on the pulse. However he did it, I don't know, but he did.
Yeah, and of course, he was a top referee as well. No more than but Johnny Cullity probably was unfortunate. He was in his prime in refereeing when that great Kerry team of the 70s was about. He refereed two All-Ireland semi-finals, including, would you believe it, Donegal and Galway in 83, but never got to referee in All-Ireland.
He was probably unlucky that he didn't get the 83 final, the fact that Kerry were in it. I mean, he wouldn't have got the 82 Kerry were in it, and then Kerry were there again in 84, 5 and 6 and all the way before that. So he was a bit unlucky in the fact that Kerry were so dominant at the time that he couldn't ref a final. But he was very unlucky, and he often mentioned to me about the 83 final, and that there were so many men sent off in that final. He said, you know, in one way, Gary, he said, I was probably lucky that I didn't get the game. But he a little bit maybe, he was a bit disappointed that he didn't get that 83 final. But he was a great referee and refed many county championship games here in Kerry and club games, and he was always very highly thought of whenever Richie Fogarty, whenever you speak of anyone of the old era that spoke about Richie as a ref, and they said he was a very, and the one thing, Tom, he always mentioned, but of course people, you say to him in his programme, there is no such rule, Richie, as common sense, and he says, I know that, he says, but it should be the number one rule, because if a ref don't have common sense, he says, nobody will have it.
Yeah, and he was quite innovative as well, because I believe long before black cards and yellow cards were introduced, he ran a tournament in Kerry many years beforehand, and he used black and yellow cards in this.
He did, and I'm led to believe at one stage, just talking to a few former colleagues in the last couple of days, we arrived one day and he didn't have a yellow card, and what he did was he cut up a Weetabix box. And he had the yellow of the Weetabix box, and that was the yellow card he showed. But you know, even doing commentary with him, Tom, I could see him talking from the referee's point of view, and like, you know, we wouldn't be critical of the refs, to be honest about it. We called it as we saw it, but there was many of the days and he'd say, actually, that kind of refereeing, he says, is nonsensical, there's no sense to it, and he should have left the play go, and he should have done this. So he was able to speak to the general public as a commentator, as a former player and a former referee. And there's not too many people that could have done that, you know.
Yeah. And then, of course, the final lap of his career was into radio and broadcasting with obviously the advent of local radio. And I suppose, in reality, it was then that he found his really true following.
It was, yeah, definitely. And himself and the late Liam Higgins were there before I got involved. And I got involved in 2004. And then Liam, the 2006 All-Ireland final was Liam's last day. And then I got the honour of accompanying Weeshie Fogarty. I was made the Radio Kerry number one commentator then at that stage. And myself and Weeshie did numerous matches, numerous All-Ireland finals and Munster finals and what have you. But it's only now when he's gone that the legacy that I had, I mean, there's only few of us actually in Kerry that could say that we actually commentated with Weeshie Fogarty. As far as I know, there's only about three of us, and I was one, and I was probably the one that was the most longest with him. So a huge honour for something to be stored like that on me, and it's only now with his passing with the last couple of days that I can really appreciate that.
Yeah, and of course, he had been unwell for some time. He hasn't been on Radio Kerry for some time, I don't think, no?
I don't think so, Tom. I think it was maybe about a year and a half or maybe 2 years. Somebody has asked me in the last few days when was the last game I did with him. I'm not.
I think it was Munster final 2016, Joe O'Mahony told me, I think around that time.
Yeah, it could have been. I think one of the last trips I did with him was away in Monaghan in Clonus. And I have a funny story leading into that. We drove to Clonus. I can't think of the name of the hotel we were staying in, but we couldn't find our way around Clonus anyway. And we pulled into a supermarket, into a yard, and there was this lady coming out with her shopping trolley. And of course, we had Radio Kerry written up in our Jeep, and she got talking to her, and he asked her where the hotel was. And she says, you're from Kerry? And yes, says Weeshie, we're from Radio Kerry, and we're doing the match tomorrow. And she says, I live right next door to the hotel. And Weeshie said, well, if you don't mind, lady, he used to always call every woman lady, if you don't mind, lady, he said, when you have your shopping put into the boot, would it be okay if we followed you nearly to your house? And she said, no problem at all, and that is how we found our hotel in Clonus that night. I think that was one of the last away games that I was probably with Weeshie, with him.
Yeah. Obviously, this is sad. Obviously, long illness, and finally came to a conclusion on Sunday morning, and so great sadness over Kerry ever since.
There is, Tom. I was devastated when I heard it Sunday morning. I knew she wasn't well. I didn't think he was that unwell, to be honest. But, really, really sad. And, I mean, he often spoke very fondly of his wife, Joan, and his three children, his two daughters, and his son, and his grandson. And, you know, it's more sadder, of course, for them, naturally, than anybody else. But then his GA family and everybody. And he also had another programme on a Wednesday night called In Conversation. That was not GA orientated at all. He could have picked a guy that swam the English Channel, or he could have climbed the Mount Everest. We had the uncanny ability of getting him, or getting her. And that programme got rave reviews as well. And I often listen to that coming home from work on a Wednesday evening. It was a great way to pass the hour's trip. But I don't think, Tom, there'll ever again be another Wishy Fogarty in Kerry. Whether there'll be one in Ireland, that remains to be seen, because he was a legend in all facets of life, and he's really is a massive loss, I would say, to sport in general in the island of Ireland.
That note, Gary, or yes, ye grow anim.
Absolutely. Tom, thanks very much.
The GAA programme with Tom Comack, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Station Roundabout, Letterkenny. Gear up for the next big game from the great range of clubwear at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Fáilte rás, good ye on Kidjo though, and obviously I'm now joined by the Donegal Culture and Chang August Officer Fergus Miggy. Well, Fergus, first of all, welcome to the programme, and looking forward to your finals of your Scorn and Og. You're ready for the finals, they're on Sunday. How has the competition been so far?
Yes, Tom, the competition, first and foremost, thanks very much for giving us the opportunity, Tom, to get a wee bit of publicity to score. Yeah, it's been good this year. We had three semi-finals, and we had a total of 30 clubs altogether have taken part. 30 out of 40 is pretty good. We had the same amount last year, and we've held that this year. So we had three semi-finals. The first one was in Burt, and that was a full house out in Burt in the hall there. The second one then we had in Drimarone. There was 10 clubs actually took part in the one out in Burt. There was 12 in Drimarone. 12 clubs took part in Drimarone. And then finally we had the last one last Sunday in Remelton, and we had 8 clubs there. So that's a total of 30 clubs took part.
And competition stiff?
Competitions were very stiff. We made a decision at the start of the year. The score committee in the county made a decision that if there was 6 or more, we decided that we would put 2 through to the final. We used to have a system where we would put 2 through from each semi-final, but that made for the final being too long, Tom. And last year, what we had in our final in Ballintra last year, it was very late when some of the young ones got home. So we decided this year to 1 gun through from each category, except if there was 6 or more in a competition, in which case we would put through 2. So what that means at the end of the day, that now in the Rinkifornia and the Cayley Dancing, we have 2. There was 3 took part in one of the competitions, there was 1 took part in the other, and there was none in the other. So there's 2 actually through in the Rinkifornia to the county final. And the Orani Akdener, the solo singing, there's actually 6 going to be in the county final, because 2 went through each night, because we had 6 or more at each of those, you know, three semi-finals. And the Irish Roskeliach, that's the recitation storytelling, we have 4 through to the final. There was less than 6 2 of the nights, and then one night there was more than 6. So that meant 2 went through one of the semi-finals. That leaves for 4. The ballad groups, there's just 3, 1 gone through from each of the 3 semi-finals. And the Leiru, which is the stage presentation, there's 3 going through there as well, 1 from each of the 3 semi-finals. Instrumental music, we have 5, because 2 of the semi-finals, there was more than 6 in it, and there was less than 6 in the third one, so that meant that 5 go through there, and then the final event of the evening will be trying the question or the quiz, and there's 5 through in that competition as well, Tom.
So who has made it through?
Well, in the Rinkifornia, we have Niamh Naglia, St. Noll's, and Letterkenny Gaels. In the solo singing, it's Orris, Niamh Alton, St. Eunan's, Cairn Dona, Killy Beggs, and Glenfinn. In the recitation, it's Ardara, St. Eunan's, Letterkenny Gaels, and Robert Emmett's. In the ballad group, it's St. Michael's, Robert Emmett's, and St. Eunan's. In the Leiru statue, the stage presentation, it's Glen Swilly, Letterkenny Gaels, and Gidor. In the instrumental music, it's Robert Emmett's, Niamh Alton, Moville, Gidor, and Milford. And in the quiz, it's Arua Balashani, Niamh Columba, Buncrana, Robert Emmett's, and St. Eunan's. So they're the clubs that are through. I think there's a total of 18 clubs out of the 30.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking as I heard you name them out there.
Yeah.
A good spread of clubs.
Good spread of clubs right across the county, yeah. You've got them from the south of the county, from the east, from up in Inishowen, and from the west, you know, they're from all parts, yeah.
Yeah, and it's in on Sunday in the Auckland and Gweedore.
That's on Sunday, and then the Auckland and Gweedore starts at 3 o'clock, and it is the 50th anniversary of SCORE. So we thought we'd just go to a good venue.
Go a little more posh.
A wee bit posh for SCORE, all right. But sure, it's not. There'll be very few of us around when it's 100. Like, so the 50th anniversary is a big event for SCORE. So we're taking the final in there, and it'll give the young people a chance as well to perform on a big stage, and hopefully that it'll be a good enjoyable evening. We have the adjudicators and all in place for that now, and Gweedore Club have been tremendous in the preparation and all, and the people at the Auckland as well have been very, very good to work with. So quite a bit of organising going into it, but hopefully, as long as it all goes well on the day now, and the standard will be good, because with the three semi-finals, it really is the cream of the county that's got through now to the finals. So,
and it should be a long enough day.
Well, it'll still be shorter, Tom, than last year, because last year, like I say, we had six of everything, and we had seven of some things, because we had a rule last year that if there was 10 or more, they would go through. So there's the solo singing doesn't take too long, and there's six in that. The Irish Rock, there's only four in that. The Leru is one that's a 10 minutes each, so there's only three of them instead of six last year. Ballot groups, we had six last year, we've only three this year, so... That's roughly, I would say, in round figures, it'd probably start about 3, and I would imagine that'll be all over by, I would say, 6:30, 7 o'clock.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And tell me, you mentioned the 50th anniversary of the birth of SCORE, the founding of SCORE.
Yes.
Any special features or?
We're hoping next year. It's really, you see, the competition that we're in now is a 2019 competition, because from here then the winners will go on. The winners from Sunday, incidentally, will go on the 1st of December. They'll be in Silverbridge. That's whoever wins out on Sunday will represent the county then.
Just one going through
this time, yeah. One going through to the Ulster, and they'll be up against Armagh, Down and Monaghan. And that's in Silverbridge on the 1st.
Yeah, that's the following Sunday, isn't it, Jen?
That's the following Saturday, actually.
And that's
at 4 o'clock in Silverbridge.
And that's the semi-final, Ulster semi-final.
That's an Ulster semi-final, yeah. And then if they're still standing after that, it'll be into January, and that's when the Ulster final will take place.
Yeah.
So it's a 2019 competition, really. So it was 1969 was the... That's when the motion was passed at Congress for SCORE, and 1970 was the first SCORE that took place. So that's where the 50th anniversary is coming from. So next year we're hoping to have, do something special, maybe have a concert or something like that in the county, Tom, that would bring in old people who have won All-Irelands at the different categories, and maybe a few Ulsters and stuff like that. So we need to get the competitions really out of the way, because when we're finished with SCORE and Og, hot on the heels of that then in the new year, we'll be starting into SCORE Sinsure. And when all that's over and done with, maybe around about September of next year, is when we're hoping to have maybe a concert that would celebrate the event properly in the county.
And tell me, obviously the competition is always stiff in Ulster. Have we potential champions?
Some of the acts now that we saw in the three semi-finals, some of them were... There would definitely be off that. There would be off that standard, I think. But Ulster is incredibly difficult to get out of. If you get out of Ulster, you can have real designs on winning an All Ireland, because Ulster do actually quite well at all categories, really, in SCORE. But getting out of an Ulster semi final, even, is not easy. You know what I mean? It's tough. But I think we have. In some of the categories there, I think we definitely have the potential, Tom, yeah.
Yeah. So just remind us again when it's on and where it's on.
It's on Sunday at 3 o'clock in the Auckland in Gweedore. And the Cadis Jahar, the admission fee, is €5. And that's, a good evening's entertainment is assured, like I said. And I think it'll be a pretty full house now, to be honest with you.
Fergus, thanks a million, and the best of luck on Sunday.
And thank you, Tom. Go to Milamayagat.
Sinead O'Toole Ellen coming Luke Glasgale, Mo Buicker, Stowe Ferguson McGee, Agus Leo Gary O'Sullivan, and also a special thanks to Jimmy Safford on sound. Good Gian Shocklin, Shahugin, Slán Agus Banner.
The GAA programme with Tom Comack. Brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Station Roundabout, Letterkenny. Gear up for the next big game from the great range of clubwear at michaelmurphysports.ie.